الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension, grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with the book of Tafsir of Shaykh Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, verse 171 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah says, ومثل الذين كفروا كمثل الذي ينعق بما لا يسمع إلا دعاء ونداء صم بكم عمي فهم لا يعقلون. Kindly read the interpretation of the meaning in English, please. 171.
And the example of those who disbelieve is as that of him who shouts to those flock of sheep that hears nothing but calls and cries. Mm. They are deaf, dumb, and blind, so they do not understand.
يقول الشيخ رحمه الله: لما بين تعالى عدم انقيادهم لما جاءت به الرسل وردهم لذلك بالتقليد، علم من ذلك أنهم غير قابلين للحق ولا مستجيبين له. The Shaykh said, after Allah had made it clear that they will reject the messengers, their rejection to the messengers and what the messengers had brought, it became clear, and their reputation was, what was the excuse that they gave them, which we said is very common? We found our forefathers doing that. My mom is a Christian, my dad is a Christian, I'm going to be a Christian. Even if Christianity doesn't make sense, even if you don't really believe, even as some people say, even so, I follow the religion of my forefathers. In Islam, we have the same thing. You try to teach the people some of the teachings of Islam, they will say, but people back home, don't do this. People in India, don't do this. People in the Philippines, don't do it this way. So it is not a matter, it's not a regional religion that is, and depends on your forefathers. It is whatever the truth suggests and indicates. So these people, they said, we're not going to follow this religion because we found our forefathers, so they're doing what we know as taqleed, blind imitation. Blind imitation, not upon insight. We know from this that they are not entitled to accept the truth and that they will not respond to it. They're just not qualified to be among those who adhere to the truth. بل كان معلوما لكل أحد أنهم لن يزولوا عن عنادهم. Rather it is clear and known to everyone that they will not abandon their stubbornness. خلاص, they've chosen this way and they will remain. And we've heard people say this, you know, even after you have a discussion with a Christian, for example, and it becomes clear to them that they don't even know what they believe, and you've delivered the message of Islam along with the Tawheed in it, and it became clear, you still have some people say, look, I will die a Christian. You've heard this before. I will never change. I'm never going to change. This mentality, you know, just as Allah described them in the Quran. أخبر تعالى أن مثلهم مثلهم عند دعاء الداعي لهم إلى الإيمان كمثل البهائم التي ينعق لها رعيها وليس لها علم بما يقول داعيها ومناديها. Due to that, Allah informed us that there is similitude. Their similitude is like cattle, like the livestock, cows, camels, sheep, goats, so on and so forth. When the caller of Iman calls them, they are similar to the animals who are called by the shepherd, trying to call him to do something, and the only thing they do is hear a sound, but they don't understand the actual speech, right? I mean, you know, maybe some animals, like a monkey, may actually understand some of your speech. But the baha'im, in this case, the cattle, the livestock, they don't understand. You know, you tell a cow, you have a conversation with a cow, And it's not that they have no ideas, they have no intelligence. Some animals are more intelligent than others. Certainly, sheep, you know, cows and camels are not the most intelligent of animals. So this is an excellent example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. They're just like the animals, they're being called by the shepherd, they only hear a sound, they only hear the da'wah, huh? But they really don't understand. They really don't understand. They have no knowledge of what the caller is saying and what he's trying to deliver to them. فَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ مُجَرَّدُ الصَّوْتِ أَلَّتِي تَقُومُ بِهِمْ عَلَيْهِ الْحُجَّةِ. So they only hear the sound by which the proof is established against them. Through that the sound, because now they're held accountable for hearing and not responding. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ لَا يَفْطَهُونَهُ فِقْهًا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. But they do not understand it in a manner which benefits them. Okay? فَلِهَذَا كَانُوا صُمَّمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. That's what Allah says, so they are deaf, they hear not. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ الْحَقَّ سَمَاعَ فَهْمٍ وَقَبُولٍ. They do not hear the truth, the hearing of realization and acceptance. They're not deaf physically. Their ears are working fine. They can hear you, but not to the extent that they believe and they accept. وَعُمْيًا لَا يَنْظُرُونَ نَظْرَ اعْتِبَارٍ. And they are blind. They do not look with insight. They do not look with reflection. They only look, they see images. بُكْمًا فَلَا يَنْطِقُونَ بِمَا فِيهِ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ. And they are mute. So they do not utter that which contains goodness for them. So they don't say the shahada. They don't say أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And they adhere to the teaching of Islam. They don't do that. والسبب الموجب لذلك كله أنه ليس لهم عقل صحيح بل هم أسفه السفهاء. And the reason why, the reason behind all of this is because they do not have the right intellect. Rather, they are the most foolish of foolish people. They are the most feeble-minded of people. وأجهل الجهلاء. And they are the most ignorant of the ignorant. فهل يستريب العاقل أن من دعي إلى الرشاد وذيد عن الفساد ونهي عن اقتحام العذاب وأمر بما فيه صلاحه وفلاحه وفوزه ونعيمه فعصى الناصح وتولى عن أمر ربه واقتحم النار على بصيرة واتبع الباطل ونبذ الحق أن هذا ليس له مسكة من عقل وأنه لو اتصف بالمكر والخديعة والدهاء فإنه من أسفل السفهاء. عجيب. The Shaykh said, so does anyone with intellect doubt that this person who has been called to goodness, called to guidance, and prohibited from corruption, and he was prohibited from acquiring punishment by disobeying, and he was commanded to that which has his rectification, his success, his victory, and his delight and bounty in the hereafter. And then as a result, what does he do? Someone is warning him from the fire, warning him from destruction, calling him to goodness. Then he disobeys the one advising. He disobeys the advisor. And he turns away from the command of his Lord. And he enters into the hellfire upon knowledge. Yani they know. They know that what they will do, will the consequence of their actions will be the hellfire, and they deliberately remain on their evil ways. And he enters the fire upon knowledge, he follows falsehood, and he abandons the truth. Does it become, do you doubt that this person has 0.01% of intellect? Does this person have any brain? SubhanAllah, no way. And that, if he has some brain, then we give him the qualities of deceit, planning, plotting, you know, being a tricky individual, and then he's from among the foolish of foolish people. Who are you tricking? I mean, you may get by today, but as soon as you die, the body's over. As soon as you die, it's over. Whatever lies you have been given. Jimmy Swaggart. When Jimmy Swaggart was sitting there addressing the people, don't you think he knew in his mind that he's a liar? He knows he's a liar, man. Everybody knew, even his own followers knew he was a liar. And so, but see, he's able to trick the people. You can't go in his heart and open and say, listen man, see, at this moment right there you were lying. You cannot do that. Even though it's obvious for the attendees and the audience. But he's having a good time, or he had a good time until they caught him with a prostitute twice, and then his whole career was over. Alhamdulillah, Allah showed us the truth. But had he continued with his words, even if he's having fun now, as soon as you die, the party's over. So while you were on stage lying, who are you tricking? Who are you deceiving? Yourself? Foolish man. Foolish man. Had you had some intellect, you would have declared the truth right then and there. Now yes, you know what? As many people have, yeah, man, the truth is in Islam. And they follow the way of Islam. Some people don't do that, even though they know. Allah knows that they know. But they're just, you know, they're just one of these people. Anyways, so verse 172. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل به لغير الله فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فلا إثم عليه إن الله غفور رحيم تفضل
أو يوهبه Eat of the lawful things that we have provided you, that we have provided you with, and be grateful to Allah because it is indeed He whom you worship. He has forbidden you only the dead animals and blood and the flesh of swine, and that which is slaughtered as a sacrifice for others other than Allah. But if one is forced by necessity without willful disobedience, nor transgressing due limits, then there is no sin on him. Truly, Allah is not forgiving most merciful.
Barakallahu feek. Alaykum salam. هذا أمر للمؤمنين خاصة بعد الأمر العام وذلك أنهم هم المنتفعون على الحقيقة بالأوامر والنواهي بسبب إيمانهم. The Shaykh said, this is a command directed to the believers in particular after the general admonition from Allah to the creation in general. And the reason why is because they are the true people who will benefit, the only people who will truly benefit, concerning Allah's commandments and prohibitions. Why? Because of their iman. Because of the iman, you will leave alone having bacon strips or some sausages, even though you may have been something that you liked in your pre-Islamic days. What prevents you from eating a swine? Your iman, your faith in Allah, knowing that Allah has made this haram. You cannot embark on such a thing, knowing that Allah has made that prohibited. فأمرهم بأكل الطيبات من الرزق والشكر لله على إنعامه باستعمالها بطاعته والتقوى بها على ما يوصل إليه. So Allah commanded us to eat what is lawful from sustenance and to be grateful to Allah for providing us with it and to utilize it in means of obedience to Him and in order to strengthen ourselves to reach Allah, to make it to Allah in the sense that His pleasure. To make it to Allah's pleasure subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with food, you're able to do so. Not a lot of food. With a lot of food, you'll be able to sleep quite a lot. But with little food, you're able to keep energy, which is required for you to worship Allah. But with moderation. With moderation. And I'm saying this because in Ramadan, some people, get overexcited during iftar. And, then they wind up sleeping during taraweeh. And then, it's not really a very very interesting, situation. You ruin your act of worship. It's only 1 month, month of fasting, not a month of eating. And so, we should just keep things in check. Take it easy. When it's time to break your fast, life goes on. Okay, you can eat later, inshallah, with moderation. فأمرهم بما أمر به المرسلين في قوله يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا. So Allah commanded the believers the same thing He had commanded the messengers before that, which was the ayah, O messengers, eat from that which is lawful and do righteous works. فالشكر في هذه الآية هو العمل الصالح. So then being grateful to Allah in this ayah is righteous deeds. The way you are grateful to Allah is by performing righteous deeds. utilizing the provision given to you by Allah. نعم وهنا لم يقل حلالا لأن المؤمن أباح لأن المؤمن أباح الله له طيبات من الرزق خالصة من التبعة ولأن إيمانه يحجزه عن تناول ما ليس له. And here Allah did not say halal, meaning that we remember we made that distinction in our last dars. We said the thing can be halal in a sense, طيب, meaning the food itself is lawful to be consumed, but it may be haram because you stole it. And the ayah addressing the believers, Allah did not mention al-halal also, He only mentioned tayyib, the lawful. As for halal, the Shaykh said, then here, because already Allah had made lawful for us everything, and there's no consequence for that. And also, the believer, his iman will prevent him from acquiring, or bringing things in haram ways. يعني by stealing or something like that. Your iman will prevent you from doing so. وَقَوْلُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ If it is indeed He who you worship. أي فَشْكُرُوهُ Meaning be thankful to Allah. فَدَلَّ عَلَى أَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَعْبُدُهُ وَحْدَهُ So that indicates that whoever does not show thankfulness and gratefulness to Allah is not worshipping Allah alone. So then part of the ibadah is that you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ويدل أيضا على أن أكل الطيب سبب للعمل الصالح وقبوله. And this also indicates that eating lawful food is means for your righteous deeds to for you to perform more righteous deeds and for them to be accepted by Allah. On the contrary, eating unlawful food and haram things will cause your act of worship to be rejected by Allah, particularly du'a. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned clearly, the man will be traveling and he'll be raising his hands, he will be saying, Ya Rab, my Lord. And he has eaten from haram, he has drank haram, he is clothed by haram, his whole sustenance haram. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ How is it that he expects an answer? How is it that he will be answered? He will not be answered. Because earning halal, haram money will prevent your dua from being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْأَمْرُ بِالشُّكْرِ عَقِيبُ النِّعَمِ لِأَنَّ الشُّكْرُ يَحْفَظُ النِّعَمِ الْمَوْجُودَةِ And the fact that Allah commanded us to be grateful after mentioning bounties, it is because being grateful protects the existing bounty. يعني when Allah gives you a bounty and you are thankful to it, this is means of preservation. This is means of preservation of that very bounty from Allah. If you don't show thankfulness, it may go away. If you don't show thankfulness, you may go away. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِيمٌ Whoever turns away from the remembrance of Allah, we will assign for him a devil. He will be his close companion. So when one does not want the deen of Allah, he'll be given something else in return. You see what I'm saying? That's the idea behind it. You're given a bounty, you show thankfulness, you will keep it. You don't show thankfulness, it'll go away. It'll go to someone else, or you will not be able to keep it. So Allah musta'an, this is very sensitive. وَيَجْلِبُ النِّعَمِ الْمَفْقُودَةِ Also showing thankfulness brings about bounties that are currently missing. Things that you want, that you don't have, by showing thankfulness to Allah, you'll be able to attain them by the will of Allah and His sustenance. كَمَا أَنَّ الْكُفْرَ يُنَفِّرُ النِّعَمِ الْمَفْقُودَةِ وَيُزِيلُ النِّعَمِ الْمَوْجُودَةِ Similarly, disbelief, it repels the bounties that are absent. It repels them, they don't even come because of disbelief. And it removes existing bounties. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُحْرَمَ الرِّزْقِ بِالذَّنْبِ يُصِيبُهُ The slave of Allah will be prevented from sustenance written for him because of the sin that he commits. Meaning, there was 10,000 riyals. Huh? Just a signature away from your name. For it to be in your bank account. For you to make it. You look at a woman walking down the street, مَعَ السَّلَامُ The 10,000 riyals, gone. Now you never know. You never know that this was written and it went. You may know, you may not know. Either way, sins remove sustenance. Prophet ﷺ said, a servant of Allah will have a rizq written for him, gone. because of his sin. Dhanbi, he didn't say dhunub, sins, but dhanbi, one sin that you commit. So if yani one ultimate benefit of avoiding sins is that you don't wind up becoming in a state of distress where you are deprived of mercy and bounties and you have calamities. So you know, this is a, you know, so don't belittle looking at a woman walking down the street. Don't belittle listening to some music. Don't belittle these things, because it is not about them only. It's about what the consequences of that actions are. And they may be devastating. I mean, you may go astray. You may go astray from the path of Allah. You may deviate from the path leading to Jannah because of some sins that you continue to commit. So nothing is to be taken lightly. There is no nonchalant attitude concerning sins. Every sin is a disaster, and we should try our best to avoid them. And when we do sin, we should seek Allah's forgiveness and turn to Him in repentance and change our ways immediately. طيب. ولما ذكر تعالى إباحة الطيبات ذكر تحريم الخبائث. And so when Allah mentioned what He made lawful of the طيبات, He mentioned the prohibition of the khaba'ith, which is the opposite of lawful, which is unlawful. And khabith is anything that is evil, wicked. It's not in the goodness, the opposite of goodness. فَقَالَ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةِ وَهِيَ مَا مَاتَ بِغَيْرِ تَذْكِيَةٍ شَرْعِيَّةٍ لِأَنَّ الْمَيْتَ قَبِيثَ مُضِرَّ لِرَدَاءَتِهَا فِي نَفْسِهَا وَلِأَنَّ الْأَغْلَبَ أَنْ تَكُونَ عَنْ مَرَضٍ فَيَكُونُ زِيَادَةُ مَرَضٍ واستثنى الشارع من هذا العموم ميتة الجراد وسمك البحر فإنه حلال طيب. So Allah says, what was made prohibited for you are only the following. ميتة, which is what?
Dead animal.
And the Shaykh said, it is whatever dies without being slaughtered Islamically. Why? Because the dead animal is filthy in and of itself. Okay, A. B, very often it dies because of some sickness. So when you consume it, that sickness upon sickness already, because you're consuming the disease that it may have. And then the Shaykh said, but there's an exception. Who knows the exception? What's the exception for Maita, the dead? What exceptions do we, are the first, are there any exceptions? And if you have the book, you cannot give us the answer. Are there any exceptions? And if there are exceptions, what are they?
Two.
Yes.
The locust and the fish.
The locust, you know that, like the grasshopper. You know that animal, that little insect that jumps and it flies at the same time. It has, you know, grasshopper. We call it grasshopper. But it's a particular kind that is usually it consumes, if it goes to a village or an area where there's vegetation, it will eat up the whole thing. And these things are tough little insects. So that if you find it dead, you can eat it. Now it may not be your most favorite dish in the world, as it is not for me, for example. I don't know if you're really interested in eating one, but it is lawful. And the Sahaba did eat that. It was something that they ate. So you know, the issue of what one likes and what one doesn't like is a big issue. We can never agree. The children of Adam can never agree. Some people hate fish, some people hate chicken, and most people do like fish and chicken. طيب. And the other exception is the fish. سمك البحر. Find a fish floating on the ocean, ما في مشكلة. Pick it up and go fry it, and you know, Bismillah. And invite us to your walima, if it is a walima. طيب. So that is an exception. The second thing prohibited is الدم, blood. أي المسفوح كما قيل في الآية الأخرى. The blood which is مسفوح, الله أعلم how to translate that to English, so I'm not going to try. وما أهل به لغير الله أي ذبح لغير الله. And whatever was sacrificed for other than Allah. كالذي يذبح للأصنام والأوثان من الأحجار والقبور ونحوهما ونحوها. Like that which is slaughtered for statues or idols, and statues and idols, من الأحجار, whether it is from rocks or graves and the likes. وهذا المذكور غير حاصر للمحرمات. Now this ayah is not exclusive to all that which is forbidden. This ayah enumerates some. There are more, right or wrong? There are more, which we have read already in previous ayat, and some that we will come across in other ayat, Surah Al-An'am and otherwise, of more things that are prohibited. وَجِيءَ بِهِ لِبَيَانِ نعم وَجِيءَ بِهِ. The Shaykh did not elaborate on لَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ. Okay, he did not, in his tafsir, did not deal with the flesh of swine, but we dealt with this, I believe, already, and it's already known that it's haram in more than one ayah in the Book of Allah. وجيء به لبيان أجناس الخبائث المدلول عليه بمفهوم قوله طيبات. It was only mentioned, so he will mention the kinds of filthy, يعني filthy things that are consumed that are understood from the general meaning of the ayah, which is the statement of Allah طيبات. فعموم المحرمات تستفاد من الآية السابقة من قوله حلالا طيبا. So how do I translate? فعموم المحرمات تستفاد من الآية السابقة. Okay, the things that are prohibited, the general things that are prohibited, are understood from the previous ayah. From the previous ayah where Allah says حلالا طيبا, and we said that halal meaning it's the thing Allah had made allowed, and طيبا, or the other way around, طيبا meaning it's made allowed, حلالا you acquired it in lawful means. كما تقدم وإنما حرم علينا هذه الخبائث ونحوها لطفا بنا وتنزيها عن المضر. And Allah had made these things prohibited for us, these خبائث, as means of being gentle towards us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to purify us from harmful things. ومع هذا, yet, فمن اضطر, whoever is forced due to necessity, أي ألجأ إلى المحرم بجوع أو عدم وعدم أو إكراه, or one who is forced due to extreme hunger, starvation, or not finding any other alternatives, or because he's forced, like somebody is being tortured by the enemies and they try to force him to eat something haram. غير باغ أي غير طالب للمحرم مع قدرته على الحلال أو مع عدم جوعه, meaning he is not seeking the haram even though he's able to get the halal. يعني he's able to get halal but he winds up going for the haram. This is not يعني this is transgression, and so that's not allowed. Or one who's not really hungry, يعني he's able to survive without eating that which is haram. ولا عاد, and he does not transgress, أي متجاوز الحد في تناول ما أبيح له اضطرارا, meaning he does not go beyond the boundaries, beyond the limits in terms of consuming what is haram. And the classical example given by the scholars as usual is that you somehow find yourself in the desert and you're dying, okay, and the only thing you find to eat is a mayta, a dead animal, which is usually unlawful for you. But in that case, you have no other means, you're starving to death, okay, and you're not supposed to starve to death. In this case, you may consume of that animal. But after you have utilized all means of search, when this is the last option, and when you're really hungry to the point of starvation, A, B, wala adin, you do not turn it into a feast and wind up eating more than necessary. You only eat that which will keep you alive. Okay, you don't turn it into something of enjoyment. فلا إثم أي لا جناح عليه, meaning there's no sin against him. وإذا ارتفع الإثم رجع الأمر إلى ما كان عليه, and if it's not sinful then we go back to the original state. والإنسان بهذه الحالة مأمور بالأكل بل منهي أن يلقي بيده إلى التهلكة وأن يقتل نفسه. So then the son of Adam is commanded in this case to eat, rather he is prohibited from avoiding so, and which entails him destroying himself or getting himself killed. So it may become obligatory for you to eat a dead animal. And that shows you the flexibility of the Deen of Islam, the comprehensiveness of the Deen of Islam, its applicability in all times, in all cases. You know, this is, there's no religion that is so comprehensive. So well custom, it's a custom, or it's customized according to the various nations and various conditions. It's amazing that, you know, they are, whatever is haram, there's always an exception at the times of need and necessity. And this is from the mercy of Allah. فيجب إذن عليه الأكل ويأثم إن ترك الأكل حتى مات فيكون قاتلا لنفسه. So it's obligatory on him to eat, and he is sinful if he avoids eating until he dies. because that would be considered a form of suicide. وهذه الإباحة والتوسع من رحمته تعالى بعباده. This allowance or this concession from Allah and is mercy from Allah to His servants. فلهذا ختمها بهذين الاسمين الكريمين المناسبين غاية المناسبة فقال إن الله غفور رحيم. That's why Allah concluded this ayah with these beautiful, noble names. Very appropriate to end this ayah with, which is إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Very Allah is all forgiven, most merciful. وَلَمَّا كَانَ الْحِلُّ مَشْرُوطًا بِهَذَيْنِ الشَّرْطَيْنِ وكان الإنسان في هذه الحالة ربما لا يستقصي تمام الاستقصاء في تحقيقها أخبر تعالى أنه غفور فيغفر لمن له ما أخطأ فيه في هذه الحال خصوصا وقد غلبته الضرورة وأذهبت حواسه المشقة. طيب, the Sheikh said, and when permissibility was conditioned by these two conditions, then the person in this case may not necessarily do what is fit, meaning he may transgress by mistake because of the situation he's in. Then Allah told that He is forgiving, meaning He will forgive whatever error one may make in terms of judgment while trying to deal with the situation. How much do I eat? What is enough for me to survive? You may make a mistake and go overboard. Allah will forgive that because of the nature and the condition of this person, the situation he's in, and the necessity, and the fact that his senses are gone. He's not really all there. وفي هذه الآية دليل على القاعدة المشهورة الضرورات تبيح المحظورات. And this ayah is a principle. This indicates a principle which everyone should know as a da'iyah, if you're involved in da'wah. It's the famous, the Sheikh said, called principle, fundamental principle, الضرورات تبيح المحظورات. Necessities allow that which is prohibited. Necessity allows that which is prohibited, meaning that which is usually haram may become allowed due to necessity. Insurance is haram. Okay? Health insurance, car insurance, life insurance, fire insurance, you name it. But nowadays in some countries, you are forced, you cannot register the car in your name unless you buy insurance. It's haram, but in this case, because it is, you're forced, it's a necessity. You need to have a car in your name, otherwise if they arrest you with the car not in your name, you'll go to jail. So then you're allowed to do that which is prohibited due to necessity. It doesn't mean you benefit from the insurance. It doesn't mean that you benefit, except that which you have paid. So if you paid 2,000 riyals for the policy and you got in an accident, you can retrieve 2,000 riyals only, equal to the amount that you paid, nothing more than that. Otherwise you're gambling. You're just like a man in a casino. Just like the man in a casino. Give me 50 riyals on number 35. Boom, boom, throws the dice. Huh? It comes on 35, here's 10,000 riyals, which you didn't earn. If it doesn't come on 35, are they going to give you the 50 riyals back? No. Alhamdulillah, you don't know gambling. But let me tell you, they don't. Okay? I'm glad that your brothers are that good, mashallah, tabarakallah. Even in your pre-Islamic days, you couldn't gamble, ishada. This gambling, that's insurance. I give you X amount of money. If nothing happens to me, you keep the money. If something happens to me, you're covered in a hospital for 100,000 riyals. You don't have 100,000 riyals. You're gambling. Just like this one is like that one. There's no difference between them. Anyways, I'm not going to traumatize you now. It's my habit to traumatize the brothers around me. But I'm just trying to give you an example. Here, because if it's going to cause you more harm, you're forced to buy an insurance policy for your car, Allah musta'an. Allah will not hold you accountable. فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. There's no sin because you don't want it, but it's forced upon you. And you don't utilize it in the ultimate sense. Jameel, shall we continue? Verses 174, let's do 174 first only. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارِ ولا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. Let me see how the Sheikh deals with this. Okay, 176. Well, we have to read the whole thing. أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى والعذاب بالمغفرة فما أصبرهم على النار ذلك بأن الله نزل الكتاب بالحق وإن الذين اختلفوا في الكتاب لفي شقاق بعيد. Verses 174 to 176 please.
Verily, those who continue what Allah has sent down of the book and purchase a small gain therewith, they eat into their veggies nothing but fire. Allah will not speak to them on the day of resurrection, nor purify them, and theirs will be a painful torment. Those are they who have purchased error at the price of guidance, and torment at the price of forgiveness. So how bold they are to the fire. That is because Allah has sent down the book in truth, and verily those who disputed as regards the book are far away in opposition.
Barakallah fiqh. هذا وعيد شديد لمن كتم ما أنزل الله على رسله من العلم الذي أخذ الله الميثاق على أهله أن يبينوه للناس ولا يكتموه. This is a strong warning from Allah to those who conceal what Allah has sent down upon His messengers from knowledge. And it is those whom Allah had taken the covenant upon these people, the people of knowledge, that they clarify it to the people and they conceal it not. They don't hide it, they conceal it from the people. فَمَنْ تَعَوَّضَ عَنْهُ بِالْحِطَامِ الدُّنْيَوِي وَنَبَذَ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارِ. So whoever replaces that with the vain dunya, the pleasures of the dunya. Hutam is like a broken car. You call hutam something that has been broken and destroyed. Yani the nonsense of the dunya, not even the good things of the dunya, the junk of the dunya. There you go, junk. And they leave the command of Allah behind their backs. Those eat nothing in their bellies but the hellfire. That's what they're earning, the hellfire. Because they have done what? They've concealed the truth, they hid the truth from the people, and they were teaching them other than what Allah has sent down upon His messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. لِأَنَّ هَذَا الثَّمَنَ الَّذِي اكْتَسَبُوهُ إِنَّمَا حَصَلَ لَهُمْ بِأَقْبَحِ الْمَكَاسِبِ وَأَعْظَمِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. Why? Because that money which they earned in the worst ways and in the biggest of violations, the biggest of prohibitions. That's how they earned it, by lying against the deen of Allah. فَكَانَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مِنْ جِنْسِ عَمَلِهِمْ. So their reward was equal to their deeds, was equal recompense for their deeds. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And Allah shall not speak to them. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah shall not speak to them on the day of judgment. بَلْ قَدْ سَخِطَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُمْ. Nay, Allah would be angry with them and He will neglect them. فَهَذَا أَعْظَمُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ. This is more severe than the punishment of the fire upon them. This is more severe than the punishment of the fire, that Allah will neglect them, ignore them, and leave them in the punishment. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ أَيْ لَا يُطَاهِرَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ الرَّذِيلَةِ. Allah will not purify them from the evil character. وَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ أَعْمَالٌ تَصْلُحُ لِلْمَدْحِ وَالْرِضَى وَالْجَزَاءِ عَلَيْهَا. And they do not have deeds which may qualify them to receive praise and pleasure and reward from Allah. وَإِنَّمَا لَمْ يُزَكِّيهِمْ لَأَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا أَسْبَابَ عَدَمِ التَّزْكِيَةِ. But Allah had not purified them because they utilized or they traveled upon a path which brought about lack of purification. They did not do the things which will cause them to be purified by Allah. التي أعظم أسبابها العمل بكتاب الله والاهتداء به والدعوة إليه. And among the best reasons for you to be purified is to it's to act upon the book of Allah and to be guided thereby with the book, and for you to call people to that. فَهَؤُلَاءِ نَبَذُوا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَاخْتَارُوا الضَّلَالَةَ عَلَى الْهُدَى وَالْعَذَابَ عَلَى الْمَغْفِرَةِ. But these people, they have turned away from the book of Allah, they rejected it, and they chose misguidance over guidance, and they favored the punishment over the forgiveness. فَهَؤُلَاءِ لَا يَصْلُحُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا النَّارِ. These people, the only befitting place for them is the hellfire. فكيف يصبرون عليها وأن لهم الجلد عليها. So how will they be patient, and from where did they get this يعني the means to survive the punishment of the hellfire? You know, jalad is to be able to endure, endurance. They have no endurance for the hellfire. Now you want to hear something interesting which will shock you. Did you hear these things that Allah mentioned? لا يكلمهم الله ولا ينظر إليهم ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. ولهم عذاب أليم. Allah will not speak to them, He will not look at them, He will not purify them, and He prepared for them a severe punishment. You know who falls under the same threat?
People of them. These people are disbelievers, they are
learned
people.
These are the ones we're talking about. You know who shares that with them? The one who keeps his pants below his ankles. Didn't see that one coming, huh? Didn't see that one coming. This is exactly what the hadith says. There are three whom Allah will not speak to on the day of judgment. He will not look at them. He will not purify them. And He prepared for them a severe punishment. And among them, al-musbil, the one who keeps his lower garments below his ankles. Not a joke. Not a joke. Now, of course, the level of arrogance associated with that, because this is also associated with arrogance, the level of arrogance will make it even more extreme. But in the hadith of Jarir, la, Jabir, not Jabir ibn Abdullah, another one. I actually. I'm not sure about the name. The hadith is sahih. The Musnad of Imam Ahmad, authenticated by the Albani. I know the hadith for sure is sahih. The Prophet ﷺ told the man, وَإِيَّاكَ وَإِسْبَالِ الْإِزَارِ فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الْمَخِيلَةِ أو مِنَ الْمَخِيلَةِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمَخِيلَةِ. He told the man, and woe to you from keeping your garments below your ankles, because it is arrogance. And Allah does not like arrogance. So in that hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, the mere fact that your pants, thawb, izar, whatever you wear back home, is below your ankles, is a form of arrogance. And if the case is such, then this hadith with this violate, with this threat, is applicable to anyone who has that. Don't belittle that issue. Don't belittle that issue. You must, brothers in Islam, keep all of your garments, whether they are work related or otherwise. Whether it's the thawb that you wear to the masjid, or the pants and shirt that you wear to your work, if you do wear that, everything should be above the ankles 24/7. Doesn't look good to fold. Folding it doesn't work, because you don't look correct, you don't look good, look lousy. And folding in the salah is not allowed. It's makruh, at least, to fold your clothes in the salah, because Prophet ﷺ said, I was commanded to prostrate on seven bones, and not to fold my hair, if you have long hair, and my clothes. So you cannot fold your sleeves, you cannot fold your pants, which is very common. You see someone walk into the masjid, he will stand, you know, and do salah. He's actually doing something that he's not supposed to do. It's makruh. The least to say, if it's not haram. So you see, what's the practical solution? The tailor, how much? 5 riyals, subhanallah. Hamburger, man. For a price of a hamburger, you save yourself from the fire. Some people don't. They know, but they don't. No matter how much they hear it, how often they hear the reminder, they don't. They're willing to take a chance to enter the hellfire because of some garment. So, this, ironically, يعني, this ayah and the same punishment that Allah prepared for those who hide the truth, it's for those who keep their pants and their lower garments below the ankles. And there's a whole books written, I mean, there's a whole discussion about the idea of the lower garment, which is not the time to elaborate on. But trust me, the opinion is, inshallah, It's not allowed for you to have that under any circumstances. Okay? طيب, are we in the Da'wah Center? Okay. ذلك المذكور وهو مجازاته بالعدل ومنعه أسباب الهداية ممن أباها واختار سواها. Now that mention in terms of that he will be rewarded with justice and he will be prevented from following the ways of guidance is for the one who rejects the guidance from Allah and he chooses otherwise. بأن الله نزل الكتاب بالحق ومن الحق مجازاة المحسن بإحسانه والمسيء بإساءته. That Allah has sent down a book in truth and part of the truth is that you reward the good doer with goodness and that you reward the evil doer with punishment. That is an equal rest justice. The good one, if you have two children, one he studies for an exam and he strives and he passes, and one doesn't, you don't take them both and buy them ice cream. Huh? You'll take the good one ice cream and the other one say, you're grounded. Okay, this is what you get. Justice is for the truth that you deal with people according to what they do. And so this is the justice of Allah. When they didn't want it, khalas, then their means of guidance are no longer available for them. وأيضا ففي قوله نزل الكتاب بالحق ما يدل على أن الله أنزله لهداية خلقه وتبيين الحق من الباطل والهدى من الضلال. Also we understand from the statement of Allah, He sent down the book in truth. He said that indicates that Allah has sent down this Quran as guidance for His creation and as means for the truth to be clarified from falsehood and guidance from deviance. فَمَنْ صَرَفَهُ عَنْ مَقْصُودِهِ فَهُوَ حَقِيقٌ بِأَنْ يُجَازَ بِعَظَمِ الْعُقُوبَةِ. So whoever changes that, he is really deserving of the severe punishment. Whoever changes the objective of the Quran, which is a book of guidance, into something else and he hides it and he uses it for his own ways and desires, then he is definitely deserving of the punishment. وَأَنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْكِتَابِ لَفِي شِقَاقٍ بَعِيدٍ. And verily those who differ concerning the book are in clear opposition or far opposition. أي وإن الذين اختلفوا في الكتاب فآمنوا ببعضه وكفروا ببعضه. So the Shaykh said these are those who believe in some of the book and disbelieve in some. والذين حرفوه وصرفوه على أهوائهم ومراداتهم. And those who distort it and they explain it away according to their ways, their desires and their intents. لفي شقاق أي محادة بعيد من الحق. Meaning they are in opposition, far away from the truth. لأنهم قد خالفوا الكتاب الذي جاء بالحق الموجب للاتفاق وعدم التناقض. Because they have opposed the book which brought the truth which that necessitates agreement and it negates contradiction. فمرج أمرهم وكثر شقاقهم. So their affair is confusion and their opposition is abundant. وترتب على ذلك اقترافهم بخلاف أهل الكتاب الذي آمنوا به وحكموه في كل شيء فإنهم افتراقهم عفوا بخلاف أهل الكتاب الذين آمنوا به وحكموه في كل شيء فإنهم اتفقوا وارتفقوا بالمحبة والاجتماع عليه. So due to that they divided amongst themselves. Unlike the people who follow the Quran, who believe in it, who use it as a judge, as a reference in everything, verily then these people agree upon the Quran and they gently with love agree and unite upon the teachings of the Quran. وقد تضمنت هذه الآيات الوعيد للكاتمين لما أنزل الله المؤثرين عليه عرض الدنيا بالعذاب والسخط. And this ayah contains a threat to those who conceal what Allah has sent because of them favoring the dunya and favoring the punishment and the anger of Allah. وأن الله لا يطهرهم بالتوفيق ولا بالمغفرة. And that Allah will not purify them by giving them success and or by forgiving them. وذكر السبب في ذلك بإثارهم الضلالة على الهدى. And Allah mentioned the reason. What is the reason? They favor deviance over guidance. فترتب على ذلك اختيار العذاب على المغفرة ثم توجع لهم بشدة صبرهم على النار. So then due to that they favored the punishment over the forgiveness. And that Allah was stern in speaking about them being patient upon the fire. لِعِلْمِهِمْ بِالْأَسْبَابِ الَّتِي يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهَا مُوصِلَةً لَهَا. How are they patient? How do they think they will be patient in the fire whilst they know that they are traveling upon the path which will lead them just there? وأن الكتاب مشتمل على الحق الموجب للاتفاق عليه وعدم الافتراق. And that the Quran, the book, contains the truth which necessitates agreement and it denies and negates division. وأن كل من خالفه فهو في غاية البعد عن الحق والمنازعة والمخاصمة. And that whoever opposes it is in the most far opposition to the truth and he's in a state of contradiction and so on and so forth. Wallahu a'lam. And the Shaykh said, and Allah knows best. And that's what it means. Meaning no matter what knowledge we have, Allah knows best what is intended behind that. This is just an attempt to do the tafsir of what is intended by the ayat. I believe with that we will conclude inshaAllah ta'ala. We currently are stopping at verse 177. And this is a very interesting verse inshaAllah, which the Shaykh elaborates extensively on. There's a lot of lessons in the coming days, inshallah, things dealing with fiqh, so you will know who are the people of zakah and other things of this nature. So with that said, we praise Allah, we send the peace and the blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, shadu la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka atubu ilayk.